fruit.
Amen. Hallelujah. You know, we are on this amazing journey where we learn and where we are speaking about just encounters God has given me with the mantle of John G. Lake and the anointing of John G. Lake and the revelation God has given me when every one of these encounters that I had, every one of these miraculous, whether it was a dream or a vision or even signs in the heavens that I've shared with you, every one of them have a purpose. God doesn't just give it to us to say how great we are. God gives it to us to help us restore the church. And God's called me to help restore His body, to restore the church of Jesus Christ back to the original power of the gospel. And today, this teaching I'm calling the Restoration Code, 271. I shared with you where I had a dream. And in the dream, I saw the book of John G. Lake, the full life story of John G. Lake's book, a very thick book. And it had the numbers in gold 271 in front of the book. And so today I want to begin to unlock this restoration code, what the 271 mean. And I believe there's a lot to really to understand here. And it's actually taken us about 3 years to begin to break it open to people. We've got on our YouTube channel, on Hendrik Witness, I've got a certain playlist called The Restoration of the Gospel there, and you can go and listen to it. It will begin to help you a lot more in much more depth. But I want to just begin to reveal to you how powerful God has given me this, this experience, this dream, so that we could see the gospel restored in these last days. So let me pray for you that God will give you insight into this message today. Father, I thank you so much. I thank you for dreams and visions. I thank you for your love for us. Thank you that you still speak through dreams and visions, Lord. Thank you that you want to reveal the power of the gospel to your church, that the power of the gospel will be restored in the most amazing way. Father, that new wine can be poured into new wineskin, and that there will be no mixture anymore, but the pure gospel will be revealed in these last days, Lord. I pray, Father, give me the wisdom to speak it, just as you would desire to give it to your people, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, this revelation has changed my life. The whole purpose of my life has actually come together in this revelation. And so this is very, very compact. There's a lot of things here that I want to open up to you. And I'll also pray that God's anointing and the Holy Spirit will help you to begin to understand it, not only with your mind, but also with your spirit and with your heart. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So, you know, when God speaks to us in a language of numbers, numbers mean something. And so God gave me the book of John G. Lake, and he was basically summarizing the book through three numbers. And he was saying, this book is summarized through 271. Now, the first thing that really caught me of this dream was, I'm a numbers person. I love understanding things and understanding mysteries and going deeper into mysteries. The first thing that caught me was that the one was not first. The one was last. Now, in my own understanding, which we will speak about in the future, I will go into much more depth about the one. I'll just mention the one today. The one was not first. The one was last. And the seven was in the middle. And then the two was the first number of the sequence. And this is like a combination code. If you want to unlock a safe, you need to unlock it with a combination code. The two and the seven and then the one, and then the door can open. And God's basically given me this code to unlock this door so that the gospel can be unlocked for you. Hallelujah. And so what does it mean? I had another encounter. Remember I shared with you the 3 years, 3 days and 3 hours from now date. And on that very date, on the 3 year, 3 day and 3 hour date, a sign appeared over our house. And on this sign that I saw over the house, I saw something that looked like Elijah that was striking his mantle on the water of the Jordan River. And the Jordan River opened up. Oh, I just feel God's presence. Hallelujah. You see, this is all about mantles. And so Elijah took this mantle and struck the river Jordan, and it opened up. Now, in this story, we all know in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9, Elijah and Elisha was together, and they crossed the Jordan, and they came now to this place, and Elijah asked Elijah something, and he says, "So what would you like me to do for you?" And so he says here in verse 9, "And when they had gone over, Elijah said to Elisha, 'Ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you.'" So he stuck so close to him. He stuck with Elijah because he was about to get something from Elijah, and he wanted Elijah's mantle. Hallelujah. And so Elisha said, "I pray you, let a double portion of your spirit be upon me." And he said, "You've asked a hard thing. However, if you see me when I'm taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so." So he's basically asking something that is quite intense. He says, "You've had an amazing life. We know the life of Elijah. We know the power Elijah walked in." And he says, "I want double what you had." You know, we always want to go in the next level. We've seen our forerunners. We saw John G. Lake walk in such power. We saw the mighty generals and the mighty woman of God walk in such power. But God says a generation is coming that's going to walk in double what the generation before them has walked in. Hallelujah. They're going to walk in greater miracles. They're going to walk in greater signs and wonders than the generation that has walked before them. And you are that generation. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. And so he says, "Well, if you see me, you will get it." And we know what happened was suddenly a chariot of fire came with a chariot of horses, and a whirlwind came and snatched Elijah out of this world. And that moment, Elijah's mantle fell on the ground. Now, I'm going to speak to you about a future program. I'm going to speak to you about my encounters I had with Elijah, just to mention that for a tidbit in the future. And so basically, the mantle of Elijah fell on the ground, and as the mantle of Elijah fell on the ground, Elisha picked up this mantle. In verse 13, we pick it up, and he says here, verse 12, he says, "Elijah saw it, and he cried, 'My father, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen.' And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and tore them in two pieces, and he took up the mantle of Elijah, and that fell from him, and he went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. And he took the mantle that fell from Elijah and struck the waters. And he said, 'Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?' And when he struck the waters, they parted this way and that way, and Elisha went over." Wow. Oh, hallelujah. I just feel the presence of God. Thank you, Jesus. You know, when you sense the presence of God, there's a mantle coming. There's a mantle that God is going to pour out right now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, God is just pouring out a mantle right now. People are receiving a mantle right now. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. And so Elisha actually took Elijah's mantle. And when he took that mantle, he said, "Where is the God of Elijah?" And he did exactly what Elijah did. That is his first miracle, opening up the Jordan River. He goes through the Jordan River. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And so all the people, all the prophets around says, "Look, the mantle of Elijah is on Elisha." Now, what is so amazing about my encounter that I saw of the sign that appeared over my house was I saw a picture there that was quite interesting. Now, why am I saying this? You know, I always, when God shows me something, I try to reproduce it, and I try to do it again, and I'll put this on here just show you what God had shown me. I tried to get a picture of Elijah, and I found a picture of Elijah earlier in my life already, where he was striking the Jordan River, and it was a picture of a man with a blue mantle that was striking the Jordan River. But then I found another picture where Elisha had this big red mantle of Elijah, and he was striking this on the Jordan River. So the two pictures actually look completely different. But what was interesting was the sign that appeared over my house was a combination of the two pictures. Hallelujah. And now you're going to begin to see something. There's a very amazing revelation where what I saw in this picture that was over my house was Elijah striking with the mantle that Elisha had taken on the Jordan River. Hallelujah. Now that might sound like, well, I thought you said Elisha is the one. Now, let me begin to break open this, and I'm going to begin to show you how the 271 is the restoration of the last days. And I will only be able to look at one part, but in the future programs, when we're going to look at William Branham, we're going to see the last part being unlocked. Hallelujah. And so what happened here was, you know, we read this verse here in Luke 16, verse 16. It says, we saw that last week where we saw that, it says, from John the Baptist came, John the Baptist preached the message of the Old Testament, but the good news has been preached and people trying to enter it by force. Hallelujah. So if we mix these two, we will try to get into the kingdom by force. And he says, John the Baptist was the greatest of all the prophets, but we, the least in the kingdom, will be greater than John the Baptist. And so now what God is actually telling us is, if we in the New Testament operate in the power that God really had for us, we should be far greater than John the Baptist. Amen. We should have a double anointing of what the Old Testament people had. Just recently on Sunday, I actually spoke about the double anointing and how God has given us the New Testament double anointing. And so what we see here is that Elijah had only a single anointing, but Elisha had a double anointing. Now, in this sense, the word Elijah, the name Elijah, means El is Yah. And Yah means I am. El means God. And he says, I am is God. Where Elisha is a very interesting word. I went to do my research on that. And the meaning of the name Elisha is actually God supplies, or God is my supplication, or God is my strength. But what is very interesting to me, the word Shah, Elisha, is in there. It's not Elijah anymore. It's now Elisha. It's got a softer form than the Yah, but it's a Shah. And this is the same that we sound when we hear Joshua. So there's a Shah there. And you know, the word Joshua actually also comes from two words, Jo, which is Jehovah, or God's name in the Old Testament, and Shah, which means salvation or savior. So Elijah's name is more a referral to the Old Testament revelation of God, while Elisha's name is a revelation of the New Testament revelation of God. Hallelujah. Are you with me still? Amen. So we see here that in my vision that I saw, Elijah, which is an Old Testament prophet, took Elisha's mantle to strike on the water. So Elisha's mantle refers to the New Testament mantle that God has given his people under the double anointing. Amen. And so if we take this New Testament revelation and we add it with an Old Testament understanding, we're going to see the power of God. Listen to this verse that I found that talks about bringing old treasures out of the new. In Matthew 13, verse 51, Jesus spoke and he says, "Have you understood all these parables taken together?" And they said to him, "Yes, Lord." So Jesus just told them parables, and they begin to understand the parables. And now Jesus speaks to them and he says, Therefore, every teacher and every interpreter of the sacred scriptures or writings who has been instructed and has been trained for the kingdom of heaven and has become a disciple is like a householder who brings forth out of his storehouse treasure that is new and that is old. Treasure that is old and treasure that is new, that is fresh, and treasure that is old, that is familiar. Okay, so what is Jesus telling us? Jesus says, you know, if you get the New Testament revelation of the gospel, and you understand the New Testament revelation of the gospel, and that is so amazing to you. That is basically new wine poured into new wineskin. So you get the new wine, you pour it into the new wineskin in the right way. Then, if you add to that, to the Old Testament, you will bring out of the Old Testament even greater revelation. Hallelujah. So Elisha took what Elijah had, and he brought out of that something even greater. Amen. So if we begin to put that together, we're going to see the power of the restoration of the gospel unlocked. Amen. And I hope you're following with me. Thank you, Jesus. So here I want to put something else together that is quite amazing to me when God revealed this to me. And this is the restorative code that was prophesied by the prophet Malachi. Amen. And he says here in Malachi chapter 4, verse 5, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord," or of Jehovah. "And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the sons, and he shall turn the hearts of the sons to the fathers, that I will not come and strike the earth with an utter destruction." Wow. So the prophet Malachi prophesied something amazing. He prophesied that he says, God's going to send you the prophet Elijah. He doesn't say he's going to send you the prophet Elisha. He's going to send you the prophet Elijah. And what is Elijah going to do? This Elijah anointing is going to restore the hearts of the fathers to the sons. Hallelujah. Then it says, and then he's going to restore the hearts of the sons to the fathers. And that's quite amazing to me. This revelation is so amazing. I never saw it, but there are two sides to this coin. There's the one side where the hearts of the fathers are turned to the sons. And then there's the hearts of the sons that are turned to the fathers. These are two sides. And he says he's going to do something with them. He's going to reconcile them with one another. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, the word reconciliation means to make right. He's going to make them right. Now, here I'm beginning to unlock this amazing prophecy. And so God is actually telling us, you know, John G. Lake was one of our spiritual fathers. He was a mighty man of God that was a spiritual father that walked in the power of God. And we are now the sons of another generation. And God wants the fathers, now this father here is the fathers of the Old Testament. He wants to turn that. We saw all the fathers of the Old Testament. We saw all the miracles, all the signs and wonders that God did through Moses and through Elijah and the mighty prophets. Amen. And when we look at these hearts of these men, we're like, wow, we want to turn to them. But God says, no, they must turn to us first. And if they turn to us, they must turn to the New Testament. So a lot of people want to be like Elijah. They want to be like Moses. They want to be like the mighty prophets of the past. But God says, no, you have got something greater in the New Testament, which is a double anointing, which is the mantle of Elisha. Amen. And if you have that double anointing mantle, you will do greater things than they did in the Old Testament. Amen. Oh, I just feel God's presence because he's leading me. Thank you for that, Jesus. Now, if you do that, you turn the hearts of the fathers to the sons. But the prophecy is not finished. The prophecy says, then you will also turn the hearts of the sons to the fathers. Now, that's where the one comes in. Hallelujah. This is where the last part of the prophecy comes in. So the prophecy consists out of a 2, a 7, and the 1. So the 7 reconciles the 2 and the 1 with one another. Amen. But the 1 is not first, the 1 is second. The 2 is first. So that which is last is first, and that which is first is last. Amen. Does it make sense to you? So the Old Testament is last, and the New Testament is first. And if we reconcile them to one another in the right way, the right order, the 2 first, then the 7, then the 1, we're going to see the power of God restored to His church. Hallelujah. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. And so this is the restorative code that I want to speak to you. So what does the 2 mean? I'm going to begin to just quickly break open the 2. Why is it a number 2? Now, we know God is one. And that's what really struck me about this whole revelation. I've always known that God is one. But the scripture says something amazing in John chapter 5 from verse 20. Quite an amazing verse here. You can go and read the whole chapter. But Jesus says here from verse 19. So Jesus answered them saying, I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, the Son is able to do nothing of Himself, of His own accord, but He's able to do only what He sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does is what the Son does in the same way. Verse 20, the Father dearly loves the Son and discloses and shows Him everything that He does. He will disclose to Him and let Him see even greater things than these, so that you may marvel and be full of wonder and astonishment. Verse 21, just as the Father raises up the dead and gives them life and makes them live again, even so the Son also gives life to whomever He wills and is pleased to give it. Verse 22, even the Father judges no one. He has given all judgment, the last judgment and the whole business of judging entirely into the hand of the Son, so that all men may give honor and reverence and homage to the Son just as they give honor to the Father. In fact, whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who has sent Him. Now this is quite amazing. So Jesus is suddenly talking about the Son of God. Now, in the Old Testament, they knew the Father. They knew God and the might and the power of who He is. But then God gave us His Son. And Jesus is now declaring here that the Son can do nothing except without the Father. So Jesus could not even do anything Himself. He got His power from the Father. Amen. But He says, God judges no one. God gave all judgment to the Son. And you should honor the Son just like you honor the Father. Amen. And so, can you hear this? You see, the hearts of the Father is kind of turned to the Son. Amen. There's your first part. God has given us the New Testament where He says, I've given you my Son. You cannot leave out the Son. No one can come to the Father except through the Son. No one can come to God except through the Son. So in verse 25, Jesus makes this amazing statement in conclusion. He says, believe me then, when I assure you, and most solemnly I tell you, a time is coming, and there is now come, that the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear it will live. For even as the Father has life in Himself and is self-existent, so He has given to the Son to have life in Himself and be self-existent. Verse 27, He has given Him authority and granted Him power to execute and exercise and practice judgment because He is the Son of Man. Amen. So God has basically given everything over to Jesus. God has life in Himself, the Bible says. But Jesus, God says, that life which is in the Father is now in the Son. And the Son has that same self-existing life in him. He has got everything that's in the Father is now in the Son. And God has given all the authority and all the power to the Son. This is the New Testament gospel. Hallelujah. You see, unless we understand that, we can never come to the Father. We can never receive all the power, all the promises that God has for us. We cannot get unless we come through the Son. And that is the number two. The seven is quite an amazing revelation. The seven is what I've been telling you all the time. It is the righteousness of Christ. It's the perfect righteousness of God. And God is saying to me, you know, you can't even get the righteousness until you don't receive the Son. And once you receive the Son, you receive the perfect righteousness. And when you receive the perfect righteousness, you now get access to the Father. Now we turn the hearts of the sons to the Father. We turn the hearts of the sons to the understanding of everything that was in the Old Testament that was so glorious and so powerful. And God's going to now give us a new glasses to look through this new wineskin with this new wine, looking at the Old Testament and seeing the Old Testament through this perspective. And then we're going to see the power of God restored in a double portion of what they had in the Old Testament. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you excited about that? And so I'm ending off with this verse today. The seven is the perfect righteousness. In Romans chapter 5 verse 1, it says, therefore, since we are justified, declared righteous, and given a right standing with God through faith. You see, you cannot get it in any other way except through faith. Let us grasp the fact that we have peace of reconciliation to hold and to enjoy peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So you cannot have peace with God unless it is through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And now you have justification. Now you have righteousness through the Son. And now that you have righteousness through the Son, the Bible says, through him we also have access, we have entrance and introduction by faith into this grace, into a state of God's favor. You see, the moment you are in this place of God's favor, you get access to all the promises. You see, people have tried to access the promises in the wrong way. They try to access the promises through all their righteousness. They try to access the promises through their own perfect life that they wanted to live. But God says, there's no other way. There's no other way of entering in except through this restorative code, the 271 principle. Hallelujah. And he says, that you may have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Anointed One. Through him, we have access by faith into this grace. And now, let us now rejoice and exult in the hope of experiencing and enjoying the glory of God. Hallelujah. You see, that's where the promises lie. We can experience the glory and the presence of God when we have access into that. And so God says, this is the way in. This is the door. This is the way. Jesus says, I am the way. I am the truth. There's the two, the way. I am the truth. There's the righteousness. And I am the life. There is the one. Hallelujah. And you'll begin to see this principle throughout the whole Bible in the New Testament. I want to pray for you right now that God will just begin to unlock this restorative code to you. Father, I thank you so much. I thank you for this revelation that you want to give to your church to reveal, Father, the gospel to them and restore the power of the gospel back in these last days. Thank you, Lord, that you have reconciled us, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that you've given me that code to unlock it in the right direction, Lord, not pouring it the other way around, not putting the one first. Help us, Father, to have discernment, to be able to do it the right way around, Lord. I thank you, Father, that your presence will be released on people, Father, as they access through the Son, through your righteousness, into your oneness. Thank you, Father, into that oneness with Christ, into that oneness with the Father, Lord. And so I pray, Father, for your presence that will just heal people and bring them into the latter-day exploits for those who know their God, who shall do great exploits in these last days, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you for having joined us in this revelation of the 271 principle in the restorative code. And may God just break it open to you. We're going to look into this much deeper because this is what it's all about. And come and join us on our channel, Patmore Studio. If you want any more information, join us on our Telegram channel, Morningstar Friends. And please leave us your comments. Tell us what you've experienced. Tell us what you've learned. And that God may just take you into a deeper place. God bless you. Amen.